Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a blessing in those words. All our sins and griefs to bear. And then the sad words as well. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. Listen as those words are sung. Reading from Colossians chapter 2, the last part of the chapter and the first part of the third chapter. Verse 20, Colossians 2. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. After the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's give thanks for this great and glorious blessing that God gives, already promised to Abraham, telling him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And here in a way they are described, Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. One Savior for all men. Let's come to the Father, praying and giving thanks in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks for him. We come giving thanks what he has done, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that he died for the ungodly. And Father, we give thanks that it is true, as John could write, not that we loved thee, but that thou dost love us and make thy Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Help us to see these things rightly. Help us to die both to the ways of the world and especially to die to self-righteousness, to bringing our own righteousness before thee, which are, as Isaiah could say, filthy rags. And we pray that we might realize it rightly, as Paul did and others have. And we pray, Father, for such a reviving of both conviction of sin and faith in Christ, the blessing of it, and that we might rightly come to thee, Father, first in repentance, and then in faith, and then through faith, also be obedient, bringing fruits for thy glory, honoring thy name, and fruits as well, for the good of our neighbor, both the lost and the saved, both our friends and enemies. We pray, Father, that we might see these things rightly as thy word so wonderfully teaches them. And we give thanks again for that word, the perfect word that we have read. And now we pray that thou would give us the message that we need from it. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs, those in sickness, we pray for healing, those in injury, the same, those, Father, that will be left in their illness till death, we pray that thou prepare them through Christ for that solemn hour. We pray for those in hunger, those homeless, those in war-torn lands, those being persecuted. We pray, Father, for the needs in our government, our leaders, our schools. We pray for especially our homes and the broken homes, the children and those, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue Paul's letter to this church, this part of the body of Christ, these who lived here these 1900 years ago, but the message is needed for us today as well as it was for them. And we need exactly the same thing as they did. We certainly can't say and shouldn't say, like we sometimes do about other things, you can't do that or you can't have that in this day and age. We are here speaking particularly of the message of Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though at this time of the year we think of his birth, we think of him coming, I'm afraid wrongly. We think of the Roman leader ordering all the people to go to the place of their birth to be taxed. Would he have done that in the winter? Toward the end of Christ's ministry on earth, when he speaks of the terrible things that are going to happen, he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. He knew that that was not a good time to travel. He knew it in his years here in teaching. And then we want to think that God would send his Son in the fullness of time in the winter. People, I'm afraid, foolishly say, oh, we want a white Christmas. Do you think the shepherds wanted a white night that night on his birth? Do you think there was a white night when the angels came down and gave that wonderful message, "For unto you is given this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, born in the city of David, and also from the seed of David." And then the message, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest. Yes, glory to God. And oh, how fickle we are in the foolish things. Even that Paul warned against both the Galatians when he stated, "You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestow upon you labor in vain." Paul gives us the only time that we know that Christ was born. And what is it? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons, and it's true of daughters as well. The fullness of time, that's the closest we know. I'm not sure if ways could be understood or not. If we know when John the Baptist was born, or we know that when Zechariah's time was come, if people could follow through that, I'm not sure. But we're not told when he was born. We certainly are not told like the Passover and like the other feasts, the different times, the different days. We aren't given that. We are given in Scripture all the four Gospels to remember his death till he come. But we are not told that of his birth. And only two of the Gospel writers tell us of the details of his birth. One particularly, born there in Bethlehem, the angels coming. The other one of the wise men coming later, evidently, to the house where he was, coming to Jerusalem first. These happenings with it, all of that is there. But the one thing we need to know is that God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You and I are born under God's law, everybody. Some know it by conscience, some know it by the writing of the word, but we all know it even by nature. Nature testifies of the Godhead and his power, so they are without excuse. We know those things, and we should know them better. And we are far from it, especially when we don't want to recognize God in nature. And we bring up lies of evolution, lies of Darwinism, and teach that, not only in the secular schools, but in the colleges, the seminaries, so-called Christian schools. That lie is taught, and it's a terrible thing. And just think of the warning God gives. All liars go in the lake of fire. When people say the world is 5.4 billion years old, they're lying. They don't know. Why is it said? Why is it written? Again, when we say December 25 is the birth of Christ, how do we know? It's certainly not in Scripture. In every other way you can read it from your encyclopedia, you'll see that it was more of a heathen day than it was a holy day. But we need to go on here, coming back to Paul's letter to Colossians, and what we need to do with the Colossians, they then, and we now. "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, and after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in the honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Paul is probably referring back there to what he wrote earlier, verse 16, "Let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in respecting of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." There were certain days, and some of them are still commemorated. When we think of the Passover, it is now the Lord's Supper. The Jews still keep it as the Passover, still expecting Christ to come after he has come. But we need to see these things rightly. And when we don't see them rightly, we're not to make more of the lesser things than the greater things. The greater is to be dead with Christ from the world. And certainly when we think of some of these holidays, they are just simply worldly. Some of them begin very early, long before the day is commemorated. Sometimes they override other days when we should be thankful before the Lord, the day that our forefathers gave us to be thankful as they were. And we should follow in their footsteps, thanking God for the blessings that He has given. They did, and we should. Many times, this other holiday almost overrides it, or wants to begin it before it or at the same time, which is not really honoring to God. Let's be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Part of that is pictured, as we saw it earlier, verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. That burying began with the new birth. Christ describes it in Nicodemus as, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he describes it as quickened together with Christ. When Paul wrote to Titus, he described it as the washing of regeneration. Here it is, in whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins by the circumcision of Christ. Christ Himself gives us that. He gives it to us by sending His Spirit, by the work of the Spirit, who will take the things of Christ and show them to us, as He promised just before His death. He says He will not speak of Himself, He will take the things of mine and show them to you. The Holy Spirit will take Christ as the prophet and teach us, and the prophet that can do the miracle of the new birth in us. And He does, quickened together with Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, giving us that blessing together. Then describing the beginning of what we do in repentance. We then are buried with Him in baptism. Paul describes it as, after learning of His sin, and I died. He died to any hope in Himself. He died to knowing that in His flesh was no good thing. All what He had trusted in before, He counted as dung, that He might win Christ. He spoke that after His life had begun in Christ, and that had to continue. But there also has to be a beginning, the new birth. Like you were born, you remember your birthday. It was on such and such a day and such a year. John Newton writes of it in the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How he speaks of how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. There can be a believing of the historic faith, that all these things are true objectively. They are all true as God spoke of them. They are all true as others experienced them. But then when the Spirit comes and pricks us in the heart, then it's for me. And it must be for you. If it isn't for you, where will you go? If you aren't plucked as a brand of the burning, you will endure eternal burning. You must be brought to a place dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Before that, as Paul speaks to the Ephesians, he says, you walked according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, of whom we all had our conversation. And we are then described as children of wrath, even as others. And that's all. Children of wrath. Children of wrath. Children of wrath. Later in our life, we can come back under the wrath of God, as we read it in verse 6 of the third chapter. For these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God fell on certain individuals in Israel at certain times. The wrath of God fell on Ananias and Sapphira. when in their pride they lied about selling their property and lied about the amount, lied, as Peter said, to the Holy Ghost, and they fell dead at Peter's feet. The wrath of God manifested itself there. In the beginning, we're all children of wrath, but we don't know it. We're all sinners, but we don't know it. We're dead in sin and dead to sin. And sadly also, dead to the kingdom of God. Only when we are born of the Spirit, when we have the circumcision made without hands, our eyes are opened, our heart is opened, like God did to Lydia. He opened her heart, and she gave heed to the things that Paul spake when he came to Philippi. All of that takes place. We have both the teaching and the example. The teaching so plain that Christ gave it to Nicodemus. The example so plain as it happened to the church at Ephesus and as it took place here, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and the putting off of the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Some want to just give the interpretation that here, the teaching that baptism came in the place of circumcision. It doesn't say that at all. Not at all. It simply says we have a different kind of circumcision than what God gave to Abraham and what was done by Moses and others. That was all by the hands. It may have pictured certain things as well as done certain things, but this is strictly the new birth. This is done by the Spirit of God and then leads to repentance, leads to faith, and will lead, like the Ethiopian eunuch, after he came to faith, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And here they had also experienced that, buried with him in baptism, when also ye are risen with him together through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. I know we've dealt with that before, but in order to have what we read in the first part of our reading, in the 20th verse, "For if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," that has to have been our experience. That has to have taken place in your and my life to bring us to this, to be dead with Christ. Paul reminds those at Rome of it when he wrote to them. He says in the 6th chapter of the letter to the church at Rome, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." We have no idea when those people at Rome were baptized. Who baptized them? We aren't told. We aren't told about them like we are told about the Ethiopian eunuch, like I just mentioned, or like those on the day of Pentecost. Here is simply Paul referring back to what has happened that we don't know when. But we know by this that it happened. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And then he describes how baptism takes place. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. What we experienced inwardly in repentance, we want to experience outwardly in a manifestation before the world, showing the world that we have died, showing the world that we have a new life in Christ, rising to newness of life. And that blessing will continue. That's why Paul says in the first verse of the 3rd chapter of Colossians, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." We are risen by the work of the Spirit. We are risen by the new birth taking place, and by us, as Paul said to the Ephesians, quickened together with Christ and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. That was the way Paul described it to the church at Ephesus, is the way he's describing it here. Different pictures of all the same thing to different people. These churches here at this time, as I said, 1900 years ago, but it was from Christ, who is the same today. These people are long gone. These people are in heaven that have experienced this rightly. And so is Christ, but in a different way. He is also here on earth. He is also one that stated before he left this earth, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." These people are gone, but Christ is here teaching you and me. Do we hear his voice? Do we know what he is teaching through Paul? Circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Many want to just follow in what was done with hands and say, well, we have the same thing. And literally thinking we have the same promise. You don't have the promise of the land. And sadly, most of those that were circumcised with hands didn't have the promise of rising with Christ. Only a remnant, as Isaiah speaks of it, and Paul speaks of it in Romans 9. The number of Israel is as the sand of the sea for a multitude, but a remnant shall be saved. Paul's talking here about salvation, describing it in the different ways, the different manifestations of what happens when God calls us and saves us. We have the new birth. We have the circumcision without hands. We are then buried with him in baptism if we have believed. And as we read in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as many as gladly received his words, Peter's words, were baptized. Here Paul says to these Colossians, and again, we don't know when. We don't know who established this church. We don't know who God used. But we do know by the inspiration of the Spirit what happened. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Christ from the dead. The God who raised Christ from the dead 1900 years ago has to do the same thing in you and I. We who died in Adam, we who are dead in sin, need to be raised by God because of and through Christ. Have you had that blessing? First of all, saying with Paul, in repentance, and I died, and then pardoned, forgiven, made a new creature in Christ. And after that, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what we need in the church, in the home, in our nation, and in the world today, so badly. Believe it for yourself and pray it for others.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.